Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, we're in the season of preparation. This Lenten season, we want to spend our time focusing on how do we prepare. Last week, we talked about fasting. Fasting from all kinds of things, not just food, but anything that would take us away from spending time with Jesus, growing in our relationship with Jesus. And so this week, as we have been given prophecies in the services we had, we were given prophecies. We had different prophecies from different people, and they were written down. And as elders, we spent time looking at those prophecies and really picking out things that were obvious that God wants us to pay attention to. And one of the things that the word that kept coming from the prophecy that we received was to focus. And I think one of the hardest things for us to do in this time in history, and we know this because studies have been done on how small our attention span is. How many of you have experienced this lately? A few of you? Our attention spans, they are decreasing because, and how we know this is that they've studied it, but also we know this because of how people advertise. We know this because of how people, how products are sold and how things are communicated in our culture. We know that you can't go on and talk for an hour and a half and keep people's attention very easily. Everything has come down to little snippets, little bites, because that seems to be all we can handle. We've changed as a society. It's changed the way people teach. It's changed the way churches operate. It changes the way everything is done. Unfortunately, there can be problems with this because we can react in one of two ways. We can either determine, well, we're just going to give people what they want and make everything in little sound bites, which is really difficult when you're explaining the whole universe, which is in the Word of God here, in little sound bites. You can end up kind of diminishing the importance of the whole idea of community and discipleship and all these things. I have a video that I'm going to get Rick to show there, the consumer one. Kind of shows how we could easily give in to this temptation. We're done. Everybody had their portion? No. It's easy to, you know, it'd be easy just to change things and make it all about small little bites, you know. We could just change it so everybody's happy and we wouldn't have to, you know, do all these things, right? And yet, the funny thing is that's not the biblical way. The biblical way is to, okay, recognize we've got distractions, but to focus. I've been getting the Hope Clinic has their Lenten preparation. Billy Kangas, some of you know Billy, he's been writing these little focus things. And it was really interesting because his focus was on fasting, but he was talking about fasting from distractions, fasting from complaining, fasting from different things. And it's been kind of interesting because today he was talking about clutter. He said, you know, we got to get rid of all the clutter in our life because if we get rid of the clutter, then we can focus on what's really important. And I thought, wow, getting rid of clutter, that's the very difficult thing. So we want to focus because the Bible tells us to fix our eyes on Jesus. We want to focus because we recognize that it'd be very easy to lose our focus and get preoccupied with things like this. The cereal was kind of making fun of the fact that it's all about us and we try to fit God in where we want him to fit in, rather than fixing our eyes on him and letting him be God. And when we see what Jesus said to Nicodemus, we understand that Jesus had a focus. It's interesting because Nicodemus, the Pharisee, came to him at night. Why do you think he came to him at night? He may not have wanted anybody else to see him. Yeah. He may have thought he would get an audience with Jesus at night, better than during the day when he was surrounded by people. But either way, he comes to him and he starts out with this wonderful address. He says, Rabbi, we know you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Have you ever tried to impress someone? We used to call it in college when I was going in, you know, to try to suck up to the professor. You know? Especially when you were looking for an extension. Do you still get extensions in college? Yeah, still do? Yeah, I was always amazed at how eloquently these students who were looking for extensions spoke of their professor. at the moment when they're about to ask for an extra week. That always amazed me. They weren't saying that at the coffee shop, but anyways, coffee house. Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." There's a little note there next to born again. That word there, you can translate it born again, you can translate it born anew, or you can even translate it born from above. And as a Lutheran, I kind of like, because born again has got such baggage with it, I like to often say born from above. born anew, not born again, because born again has kind of baggage that's happened over many years. But it's born anew, born with a different perspective, born with an understanding of the kingdom of God. He says, you cannot be, unless one is born anew or born from above or born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" You know what he was trying to do there? Anybody guess? Was he feeling a little convicted? Think he might have been trying to do what the lady at the well did with Jesus when Jesus was trying to delve into her life? And she was saying, "You Jews say we can't worship over here. We got to worship in Jerusalem." Trying to change direction, you know. When you're getting convicted, when you're starting to feel like somebody's getting too close, just change direction. Change this discussion. Here's what happens. Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again or born anew. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. The way you know which way the wind is blowing is you pay attention and focus." And what he's saying to this leader of the Jews is, you need to pay attention. Because what you are spending all your time and energy on is not the right thing. You need to focus on what God's plan is, what God wants. And that's what the kingdom of God is about, right? Focusing on what God wants for us, focusing on where God wants us to spend our time, focusing on what is God's desire for us and what is his will for us. And that's difficult, right? Because we know, just like in those times, we can find ourselves out of focus. Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered, "Are you the teacher of Israel and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony." He's basically saying, I've told you all this, but you're not listening. You're not focusing on what I'm saying. You're only hearing things through your perspective. You're only hearing things the way you want to hear them. You're not listening to the things you don't want to hear. You're listening to things you want to hear. Because it's all about you, right? Nicodemus is probably the first person we run across who's truly an honest narcissist. Because it's really, he's recognizing that what Jesus is saying and when he says be born anew, is that it changes our perspective. It's not all about me, but it's about what does God want. And then he says, "If I told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life." And then he gives the greatest mission statement ever. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." Brothers and sisters, we so easily get distracted, don't we? So I said in the children's sermon, we so easily get distracted. Look at all those signs over there. They're worse than the little ball. My favorite clip of any movie I've seen in years was in Up, where whenever the dogs are chasing and the word squirrel, and what happens? Change of direction, right? I wanted to use that video clip, but it's copyright. But as soon as the word squirrel or squirrel comes, the dogs immediately get distracted. And that's the way it is in our life. Satan loves to distract us. Just like Nicodemus was trying to figure this thing out in his head, and he was just like, you know, having a hard time focusing on what Jesus was saying because he was distracted. And I just love this picture with the eyeglasses. Keep our eyes focused on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. It is so difficult in life with all the things that we have around us to keep focused. And we can follow what I showed you in that video and say it's all about us. This is probably one of the biggest epidemics, even worse than the coronavirus. A personality disorder that exaggerates levels of self-obsession, sense of self-importance, lack of empathy, arrogant behavior, excessive urge for admiration, and strong sense of entitlement. Met any narcissists lately? I think we're all narcissists at the core, but this is one that's diagnosed. Just like Nicodemus, it's not about us. We're to keep our eyes and focus on Jesus. That's why he said we must be born anew. We must be born from above. We must be born again so that we don't fixate and focus on us, but we focus on Jesus. Being born again or born anew or born from above is all about changing our focus. That's why he says, unless you're born of water and the Spirit, you cannot experience or receive the kingdom of God. Because the kingdom of God requires us to fix our eyes on Jesus. This is what he wanted Nicodemus to get. And I know, you know, I sometimes wonder, did Nicodemus leave that meeting without really getting the main point? Did he leave that meeting scratching his head and said, how do I get this born again thing? How can I be born again? You know, I think he almost left the time with Jesus fixated on that, because how many of us have read John 3 and have kind of fixated on that? I have. That born again, born anew, born from above, that seems to be the focus. And yet, the real focus of what Jesus was saying was, he was saying, you've got the wrong perspective, you got the wrong focus. The focus I have is, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. He said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. Why? So that all those who look on him could be saved. The whole point of being born anew, born from above, born again, whatever you decide to call it, was so that our focus would change, so we would see that God is in the salvation business. Because he even goes on. Now, how many of us how many of you had to memorize John 3:16? Man, I had to memorize John 3:16. It was like, I don't know, Sunday school, VBS, confirmation. I mean, it was never ending. But, you know, I never had to memorize John 3:17. I don't know why. But don't you think that 17 is kind of important if you're focusing on 16? Because what does it say in 17? For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. We see John 3:16 all over the place. We see people with big placards, John 3:16, for God so loved the world, right? That's important. And he did indeed send his son. That's important. And his son Jesus died on the cross. That's important. And that's how we get to salvation. But look at this. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. The distraction today is that when people think of Jesus, what do they think about Jesus? They think that he loves them? Maybe. But do you think he's here to cramp their style? Do they think he's here to take away their joy? Do they think he's here to change them into being people they don't want to be? I think so. When I talk to people about believing in Jesus, I don't think that they really like the idea that they have to change. And I always say, you know, you don't have to change in order to be saved. But if you get saved, you're going to want to change. And nobody likes change. And that gets to be the distraction. For the Great Commission told us that this is what we're about. We're to go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the very end of the age. He tells them in Acts chapter 1, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You see, the purpose that we have in life is to get the message out that God is about saving people. And he wants to use us as the instrument to help in that process. It's he who saves us. It's he who died for us. It's his blood that was shed for us. It's he who rose again for us. It's he who is preparing a place for us. But he wants to use us, the body, us, his people, in the process. He wants to create a place where people can feel loved. He wants to create a place where people can feel secure. He wants to create a place where people can hear the good news, that they know that they can be born anew or born again or born from above, that they know what it means to be a child of God. We're the instruments he's decided to use. So what? Well, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, that's us, right? We're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. That what I love about this passage from Hebrews 12 is that this is not just the witnesses that we have here today, right? Not just us who are here today. When we say we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, who does that include? Everyone, yeah. All believers, past, present, and future, right? All believers. The Church of Jesus Christ is all believers. That includes Abraham and Sarah, Adam and Eve, and all the believers yet to come. And that's what I love about celebrating the Eucharist. That's what I love about celebrating the Lord's Supper, is that when we come up to the Lord's Supper, we're not just celebrating here as a small group, because we're a small church. No, we're celebrating it with the church throughout all of the centuries. We're celebrating with all Christians. We're celebrating with all the people, because we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. When we recognize that we're not alone in this, that we're part of a team, that we're part of the people of God, that we're part of this great cloud of witnesses, then we can lay aside every weight and sin that clings so closely. That's what I meant about focus, right? Laying aside those things that distract us, laying aside those things that impede us, laying aside those things that keep us from doing what God wants us to do. Lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. One of the nice things about fixing our eyes on Jesus is he's always looking forward. He always has plans for us. He always has a great future for us. He wants us to see that his plans are greater than ours, that his will is better than ours, and his desires are more amazing than ours will ever be. Looking to Jesus, or fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him has endured the cross, scorning its shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Brothers and sisters, that's where the focus of this Lenten season of preparation needs to be. We need to fix our eyes on Jesus and get rid of the clutter. Get rid of all the things that would distract us. Get rid of those things that would keep us from focusing and fixing our eyes on him. Because I believe that Nicodemus didn't get, and I have proof for this because he shows up later on in John's gospel, he didn't get the main point of the visit with Jesus. The main point of being born again was to clear the obstacles, to clear these things, and to fix their eyes on the prize, which was, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believed in him should not perish but have eternal life. For he did not come into the world to condemn the world. Do you think that Nicodemus might have had a change in the way he operated if he understood that he didn't come into the world to condemn the world but to save it? That it wasn't about exclusion but about inclusion? I think his world would have been shook. I think his life would have been changed. I think the way that he went about being a Pharisee would have been totally different. Because what the Pharisees were about was teaching people how to be in and keeping those undesirables out. It would have changed everything if he fixed his eyes on what Jesus, the main point of what Jesus was telling him. That the Son of Man did not come into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. So I want to close with this. How does knowing this, the great mission and vision statement of all time, John 3:16 and 17, how does that help us to focus on how we live? How does it help us when we're dealing with people who are definitely in the world and of the world? How do we respond to things around us? Do we get frustrated? Do we wash our hands and say, I can't do this? We just kind of try to, just kind of center in on ourselves and what we know, and kind of keep to ourselves, or do we change our perspective and change the focus and look at what are the things that we can do to build into people's lives to let them know that Jesus isn't just about taking away what they think he wants to take away. But that is, Jesus is about giving them the greatest gifts of all. New life, heaven, the kingdom, peace, no more loneliness, healing. I mean, Jesus wants to give all those things to people, and yet they're fixing their eyes on the wrong things. And they're not focused on what he wants. I want to close with one video, which is a reminder for us, and I hope we'll continue to use this as we move forward through this Lenten season.